You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on the last RedCafe.net podcast of the season, it's a review of the season where we look at the best goals, the best moments, and a few of the worst moments, as well as rating all the players' performances throughout the year.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to the final episode of the season on the redcafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, as it always is, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, how you doing? No football action to discuss, but generally, how you doing this week?
Doing okay, Steve. Yeah, like you say, it's been... I hate it when football season's over. There's nothing to get you going, really. I'm glad that the Under-21 tournament's up and coming, though. That'll be a good chance to see some players, and obviously a few other sports over the summer, like, you know, tennis with Wimbledon. I think it should be okay. You sound a lot better, Steve, with a new microphone. I understand you like the new John Motson, like, just you sat in front of your computer just holding it in your hand. It's like... Yeah. Like, technology's not hit Swindon yet.
What it was, my headset broke, which was like my main sort of microphone, obviously, and my backup was like this tiny little microphone, and the dog ate that, which sounds like a flimsy excuse you'd use at school, but yeah, that's genuinely what happened, and now I've resorted to ultra backup, which is literally a microphone I'm holding in my hand, like this really old school one, but yeah, we'll get there. How you doing?
Yeah, no, not bad. Not bad at all. Same as you guys. Although I've been watching Serie B playoffs and Primavera football. That's how bad it's got. And although Serie B was exciting, got a last-minute goal, like 93rd-minute goal from one of the teams to get to the playoff final as well, which was a fantastic moment. But other than that, been eating not just normal pizza, pizza gigante. It's a giant pizza. It's amazing.
Good stuff. Well then, without United playing then, guys, obviously we'll be in the end of the season, we'll do a mini season review, and to start with, I think what we'll do is rate the players. And, we'll start with the keepers and the defenders, and then a bit later on in the show we'll take a look at the midfielders and the strikers. So to put you on the spot, I know this hasn't really been explained to you, so putting you on the spot a bit. Edwin van der Sar, how would you rate his season?
Well, I think the only mistakes I can remember him making is the one at Anfield from the free kick, which Cowart popped in, and the one against West Brom where he literally dropped 2 points. And obviously, I think I'm going to label some blame against him in the FA Cup semi-final as well, with his poor clearance that led to Torre scoring. So, you know, three mistakes there, that two ones especially that cost us the game, and one which we were already, I think, 2-0 down at the point anyway, so... But, you know, generally 40 years old, he's been quality player. He plays the ball out from the back. His match-winning saves have been tremendous throughout the season. I remember one against Everton at home where I think it might have been Rodwell had a shot which got deflected, going in the bottom corner, and he got down like a 20-year-old and just tipped it around the post. It was, you know, brilliant. What do you guys think? Because I think... Are we rating him out of 10, did you say?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll rate each of them out of 10.
I don't know. I'll go with an 8. He's very good.
Dov, would you go along with that?
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think Dan kind of pointed out the mistakes. I would maybe put the Champions League final in there as well. I thought he could have done a wee bit better with a couple of the goals. But yeah, I think consistency as well. That's one thing you get from him. You know what you're going to get in each game. You know he's generally not going to make a mistake. And obviously with all that experience as well, like, helps out sort of the defenders at the back as well, which you would say a couple of reserve keepers don't do as well, or not nearly as well.
I'm tempted to go 9. I think he's had a really decent season, and I think we're going to notice with him being gone now with his retirement. Yeah, I'm going to give him a 9. I thought he was brilliant this season, other than the couple of errors, but every goalkeeper makes errors, so that's to be expected. Okay, Tommy Kay then, Thomas Cusack. He hasn't played much football this season, but if you had to give him a mark out of 10. Dan, I know you weren't impressed a couple of weeks back with his performance.
Yeah, the game against Blackburn, I know it was his last game he's played for us.
That was his last game. That was his last game ever.
And I think that's the shame, really, because he's been, to be honest, over the, is it 4 years he's been here, you know, he's been a very good backup goalkeeper. No problems with him. I just think that if he wants to be number one, he's got to cut out stupid mistakes like he was making against Blackburn. I think overall, though, when he's coming in, he's done quite well. I'd give him a 7 because he's not played a lot, and it must be hard coming into a team replacing Van der Sar and only playing a couple of games a season. So, yeah, I'll give him a 7.
I would go much lower.
Might be a bit generous.
I was very generous. I would go more in the realms of kind of maybe 3 or 4. Oh. And he's played like 10 games all season. I mean, just every time you see him in the lineup, you think, if the opposition can put him under any kind of pressure, then he's going to struggle. And like that game against Blackburn was just comical, like a comical performance, really it was. And I think maybe over the years, Dan, you're right, he's been a decent backup goalkeeper, but I think this season when he's come in, he's been horrible. So yeah, he's not getting any love at all from me.
I'm going to be slightly more generous, but not as generous as Dan. I think a 5. He's done okay at various times, but then, like you say, against Blackburn, it was just appalling, really. So, I think a 5's a fair score for him. I think we might be best to start doing it in twos, guys, instead of just the single player. So, moving on to defenders, basically to explain, we're going to try and do players that have played 10 or more games, whether that's as a sub or a starter. So, no, we're not going to do all the reserves in the youth team, obviously. Raphael and John O'Shea, then, if you had to score those two.
Raphael's been fantastic this season. He's cut out a lot of his mistakes. He's better in the challenge than what he was. Nearly lost his head against Liverpool Anfield when he went in two-footed. And no, I'd have probably done the same in that situation, so I'm not going to complain at him there. And obviously, he squared up to Tevez as well at some point. Was this season or last season? I can't remember. But that sticks in my mind. So, no, I think he's been fantastic going forward, and he's improved defensively. So I'd give him a 7. And John O'Shea played his part again, I think, 6.
terrible. John O'Shea deserved a 10 every season for being John O'Shea. But in all seriousness, the one thing you can get guaranteed from John O'Shea is consistency. And there's another one, you put him in the team, you know you probably won't get a bad performance. Like, maybe he's had a few shockers, but overall I think he's played well, and for me, he's a great asset to have in the squad as well, which is something I'm sure we'll come on to later. But yeah, I would give John O'Shea 7/8, and Raphael would give him a 7 as well, because I think he's come on as well, as Dan said.
Fair enough. I'd probably go 6 for John O'Shea. He's come in and played his part when he's needed to at various points in the season. And Raphael, it's hard to argue a 7, isn't it? Can we give him an 8? No, I'll go 7.
He lost his place, remember, to his brother as well at the end of the season. So,
okay, fair enough. Wes Brown and Patrice Evra, then, guys?
I think Wes Brown, he's hardly played, has he, at all, really. I think I'm going to have to give him a 5. He's not really made an impression on the season. Scored a vital goal against Crawley. you laugh, but nobody else stepped up, did they? And, that's about it, really, for Wes Brown. Who else did you mention? Evra. I think Evra has been... I think he was affected by the events of last summer in the World Cup and that whole fiasco. And I think I'm going to give him a 7 as well, because I don't think he's been brilliant this season. But he's not really had any competition until Fabio was fit again and O'Shea was coming in as well. So
for Evra, I'd maybe go a wee bit less. I'd maybe give him a 6. Just I think a few times he's been caught out of position, which... For a guy who is for me was the best left back on the planet, and he's still up there, he's still good, but I think the season was disappointing. He's even admitted that as well, that it wasn't up to his highest standards. So yeah, I'd give him a 6.
Yeah, again, I agree with what you both said there with Evra. I don't think he's quite been as good as we know he can be. So for that reason, I'm going to give him a 5. Controversial. He's not been appalling by any stretch of the imagination, but it seems to be 5's the sort of cut-off point. If Tommy Kay is getting a 5, then that looks to be, it could be the worst score. So, I think I'll give Ever a 5. And Wesley Brown, yeah, like we said, not played much football. So for that reason as well, I think a 5. a bit harsh considering he's not really had a chance to do a lot. But what about Fabio and Johnny Evans then?
Fabio has been really good again, just like his brother. I think they're on equal par. I'm not going to give one higher than the other. I don't want to upset one of them. I'm going to say I'm going to give a 7 as well to Fabio, even though I thought he was one of our better players in the Champions League final, which says a lot for his, you know, potential and his promise. Johnny Evans, he started the season off really badly. I think there was some stat released regarding him and Vidic as a partnership, and we let in, you know, a lot of goals really when them two were playing centre half. But you know, towards the end of the season when he did come in, I thought he sort of regained a little bit of confidence. So overall, I'm going to give him a 6, I think.
I don't know. Again, I'm going to be less optimistic than Dan. I think Johnny Evans, he for me, he'd get a 5. I just think the whole season has been really disappointing for him. And we know that he can do a lot better as well, which is why I'm going to give him a 5, because I think he's a good defender. He seems that he's just suffering from some kind of confidence issues or something like that, because he has got ability. But yeah, he needs to have a good long look in the mirror in the summer. And Fabio will give a 6, just because he's not played as many games as your brother. And when he has come in, he looks fantastic, but he's always injured, which brings his score down. So he needs to work on his fitness as well.
Yeah, 6 for Fabio, and I think I'm going to go 5 for Johnny Evans. I still can't get over that holding tackle. I still think it was a terrible tackle. I know you guys have defended it in the past, but that was awful. So that's why he's getting a 5. What about the trio with Vidic, Ferdinand and Smalling then? Dan, that one?
Ferdinand is, you know, I love Rio. Quality player. I think he's been, when he's not played, I think we've missed him. So that's the only thing you can say about Ferdinand. I'd be inclined to give him an 8/9. More towards the 8, though, because he's been injured quite a bit. Vidic has been fantastic. Straight down the line, 9. And I think Smalling, seeing as his first season at United, big club like United, done tremendously well. I'm going to give him an 8 as well.
Rio, for me, I wouldn't get that high a mark. I'd put him into a 7 again.
Why would he not get an 8?
Injuries kind of stop-started the campaign for him, obviously. I think towards the running, he was fantastic. But I think before then,
exactly.
Injuries...
He helped us win the league, I think, but generally.
No, I think he's had a good campaign. I just think with the injuries kind of stop-starting the season for him, get a 7 overall. But like I say, especially good in the running. Vidic, 9 or 10. I think he was amazing. The whole season, he was fantastic. And he's kind of stepped out of maybe Rio's shadow a wee bit, where Rio would look like the leader before. I think Vidic is now the kind of leader in the central defence. And yeah, he's amazing. And Chris Smalling, I'm going to give a 7 as well. I think for a guy who came in playing non-league football two seasons ago, to come in and play the way he's played, I think 7 for him as well. So,
can we give half scores? We do that? If we're allowing that, I would go Rio 7.5, because I don't think he quite earned an 8, even though end of the season he was sort of instrumental. Vidic, I want to go 9.5, because I think he's had a brilliant season, but maybe what stops him getting a 10 is a couple of times he's lost his head a bit and done some silly things, and obviously most recently the Arsenal game when he got away with that handball on Van Persie. He was about to head it in. And Chris Smalling, I'm going to give an 8, because I thought he's been solid when he came in, and like we've said, coming from non-league football a few years ago and stepping into the sort of arena that is Old Trafford and playing well has been really impressive. So yeah, Chris Smalling, 8. Well, that concludes the first part of Rate the Players, guys. We'll move on to Player and Cabbage of the Year then.
Steve.
Sean, it's about here, mate. No continuity in this one. Right, go for it. I like it.
Cabbage and Player of the Year then. Dolph, what would be your pick for Player of the Year?
Kind of alluded to it in the ratings there. I think Vidic has just been amazing. The whole season kind of held the defence together at points. Won games himself as well. And I think he's just been great. Despite the handballs and the silly little things he's been doing, just the way he's matured as well, obviously club captain and stuff like that. I think for a player of the season, for me, you can't look at any other player other than him.
Dan?
I think I'm going to give it to Javier Hernandez. I think his first season at United, to score so many goals and to help us win the league, it's been fantastic, really. And his partnership with Rooney looks like it's going to excel. So, Hernandez.
If it had been the start of the season to halfway, I'd have gone Nani. So brilliant, but he sort of tailed off second half of the season. Vidic is definitely a candidate, but like Dan, I'm going to give it to Hernandez. Like we say, first season in the Premier League, to have scored as many goals as he has been quite remarkable, really. And I'm sure he'll improve in time as well, so it's a frightening prospect, really. Cabbage then, Dan, start with you this time.
I don't know, really. There's no one who's really been shocking, I don't think. I thought, no, we just won the league and got to the semi-final FA Cup and final of the Champions League, and I don't think there is anyone. But
come on.
But if I was pushed, I'd say Gary Neville, which is harsh, I know. But at the same time, he nearly cost us a few games, didn't he, when he played. So there you go, G-Nev.
Tough.
Are we allowed to do loan players, or has it got to be players that played for us this season?
So you're going to go Makeda, aren't you?
If I could, yeah, I would give it to him, because he's, I think the whole season when he was with us before he went on loan, he was terrible, and then when he went on loan they got worse, so it would be him. But if there's got to be somebody that played for us all season, I would maybe go with Bebe. It doesn't look like it's worked out thus far, and at some points he's played, it doesn't look like he's got a footballing brain. So I think for the amount of money that was spent on him as well, he would get Cabbage, closely followed by Berbatov. I'm joking, calm down.
I'm going to go, I've got Kushak and Evra written down, and I've also got Fletcher written down, so I've got to pick between one of those three, and I think I'm going to go Evra, because I gave a stat to Dan the other week, and I hope it's right, but I think he's only had one assist all season, which is not great, considering usually expecting him to lay on a few more than that. Yeah, he's not been himself all season. I don't know why. Like Dan mentioned the stuff with France at the World Cup, but I don't know why that would affect you when you come back to your club. You're obviously challenging for the Premier League and the Champions League. So, yeah, I don't know what it was with Evra. I don't think he's been atrocious by any means, but I just don't think he's been his normal self. So that's why I'm giving it to him.
Like we said, club Cabbage and stuff, we're kind of all stuck to players, but if we could go, sir, move away from the players and go to the staff, I would give Sir Alex Ferguson, like, overall club cabbage, just club player of the season, or just club person of the season. I think the way he managed to kind of get the team to where it's gotten to the Epic Cup semi-final, Champions League final, win the 19th title, and a team that could maybe sort of man for man isn't as good as previous sides, I think the way he's kind of got them together has been amazing. And if you're going for an overall sort of club person, it would be him.
Can't argue with that, Dolph. Can't argue with that.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, just moving on then to discuss some of the sort of moments of the season and bits and bobs like that. What would be a goal of the season then? Dan, what would you pick out as the top strike?
Well, we were discussing it earlier before, and I think the moment of the goal of the season, I think, in terms of quality, will be the Berbatov one against Liverpool. You know, brings it down on his thigh and then overhead kicking off the bar. Can't argue with that.
And City, surely.
It come off his shin though, didn't it, the original?
It flew in, absolutely.
It flew in, I understand it flew in, but you know, I think that the technique displayed by both was fantastic. But the way that Berbatov knew what he was doing, he planned that. He planned where he wanted it to go. He gave Rooney a shout, brought it down on his thigh, just the right height. Brilliant.
I'll give you another one, Dan. Berbatov against West Ham in August. I think it was a cross came from Nani and he kind of scissor kicked it in as well.
Yeah, that was a virtual open goal and he was side on. This one's, he's back to goal. One of the best goalkeepers in the world, arguably, in Reina, against your fierce rivals. It's 2-2. He's got to do something. Pulls it out of the bag. It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Berbatov against Blackburn as well. The team move.
Mm. Yeah, that was good. But again, I think we're a few goals up by then, weren't we?
Yeah, true.
Dude, that was his hat trick.
The importance wasn't as grand.
Steve, oh, yeah. You're never going to change his mind. He's had it. He's Berbatov against Liverpool.
I can't believe Berbatov's got three mentions in this goal of the season. He's obviously doing something right.
Yeah.
What about worst performance of the season then?
We've come back from 2-0 down there to draw, so it can't be that bad. Before that, granted, it was pretty poor. I don't know. You could say the same against in the Blackpool game though. Away, yeah, that was pretty poor.
I think you'll both agree with me with what I've got written down. Liverpool away, that was poor.
No, I think we came up against a Liverpool team that were determined to beat us after Kenny Dalglish and all that lot. I just had one in my head then, what I thought was the worst one, and it's gone. Wolves away, when we lost 1-0.
did sit some silly errors against Liverpool, though. Obviously, Nani with the stupid header. And
yeah, but that's maybe not a poor performance. That might just be sort of it just being unlucky and having a good day, whereas the Wolves won. Nothing came off.
Fair enough. What about moment of the season, then? The sort of big highlight of the season?
I think the Wolves game at home when Park scored in the 95th minute or something, whatever it was, pulled it out of the bag, didn't he? So, and that really was good. And there's obviously other games as well, which I'm sure you two will bring up, you know, the Blackpool one and whatnot. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with that one. Understated that goal.
I think as well, one other for the goal of the season, Hernandez's back header. I think if you're looking kind of like weird, unusual goals, you don't see that every day. And I know you say you don't see Rooney's every day, but you see more overhead kicks than back headers. Moment of the season, the comeback against Blackpool. Just 2-0 down. Then obviously that was a key game as well. And then kind of coming back and winning that 3-2. Magnificent. Showed the character of the side as well. That would be my moment of the season.
I've got to go the Rooney goal again. That really made me hit the roof as soon as that left his foot and flew in. That was a winning goal, wasn't it, as well? So It was just unbelievable. And there were obviously other moments that were top class, but I think the one real moment where I literally leapt out of my seat and could not believe what I'd seen was definitely the Rooney goal.
About the Hernandez goal against Everton? When that was like 81st minute or something, and at home we won 1-0. That was a good moment as well, digging that result out.
Yeah, true.
I think as well, the performances against Chelsea. The performances against Chelsea in the Champions League, just the two of them, looked like it was going to be a really difficult tie, and then kind of swept them aside, which maybe asserted our dominance in the Premier League as well, and obviously put us on the way to get into the Champions League final. And you could also say the Rooney goal in the Champions League final was the best goal of the game.
Yeah. There's loads of moments. Football's made up of moments, isn't it?
What about a blunder or mistake of the season then?
I know everyone's going to go with Van der Sar for his clangor at West Brom, but I think I'm going to go with the game at Anfield when Nani did that. What did he do? He cleared it. I can't remember what he did now, but it sticks in my mind when he miscleared it, headed it back to their guy, and he put it in Cout, didn't he? So yeah, that mistake from Nani.
I'll go with the blundering against Liverpool for Van der Sar. I've never been so angry in a goalkeeper when he done that, when he scored after it was a free kick that really got on my nerves. So.
Yeah, but come on, it was a clanger, but he should have pushed it around the post. But I think he tried to be too clever and gather it in, and then it just bounced off him, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
None of our defenders reacted to it.
A defensive blunder, then. Everybody gets a piece of the action in that one. But I just, for a guy who's like 40 years old, all the experience, he knows what to do there. And I think he knew what to do there, and he didn't do it. So, and this against Liverpool as well, and that just generally.
Yeah, but we're already 2-0 down, though.
It doesn't matter, Dan. It doesn't matter. It's against Liverpool. It doesn't matter if we're 10-0 down that way, and it would still annoy me.
I'm going to annoy Dan here. Really rile Dan.
There we are. Go on.
And give it to Michael Carrick against City for the poor clearance. And
no, you're having you are going to rile me. No way. Like, we've discussed this at length last few. No, it wasn't his final pass that was poor, but there was three passes in there that were equally as bad.
But his was the key one. His was the key one.
Blame culture.
And the repercussions of that, obviously, as well, with City winning their first trophy in about 522 years or something stupid like that. So that was a bit disappointing. That's the reason behind it. Back on to rate the players then, guys, unless you can think of any other sort of areas of the season awards you want to hand out at all.
Gabriel Obertan's first goal in the Champions League against Bursaspor. He's Obertan's not a mention on the podcast for months, so we can have one now.
There you go.
Good goal.
It was a good goal.
Actually, another moment of the season. Owen's goal against Bolton at the Reebok 2-2.
Yeah, the header.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Nani's goal in that game actually was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just go through every goal from each game.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
On to rate the players, the second part then, guys. Midfielders, we'll do it in twos again, as running out of time a little bit. Nani and Valencia, how would you rate those two?
Both fantastic. Obviously, Valencia was unfortunate with getting his leg broken, but since then he's been brilliant. I'll give him a 7 because he's not played all season, but he's made an impact when he has played. And Nani, I'm going to give a 9. I think he's been fantastic up to like January time, and then he slipped away, but I think that was, when Valencia came back, we were lucky really that Valencia came into form and Nani dipped out of form, but I think Nani has deserved to win the league this year, and he's had a positive impact, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm being a bit more stingy with my marks than Dan. I'm going to give Valencia a 6. Obviously, he missed most of the season, obviously, with that injury. Came back, he played really, really well, but I think in the Champions League final, in a big game when it mattered, didn't step up to the plate. Nani, I would give an 8. Again, fantastic in the first half, but fell away. But yeah, I think just that first half of the season, that's kind of shown us what he can do. So a great season for him, kind of confidence-wise, and he's sort of kind of shown to himself that he can become the player that everybody thought and hoped he would be. So he's only getting an 8, though.
Tempted to give the old half marks again. Nani, I'll go 9 then. I think he was top of the Premier League assist charts, something like 18 or something like that. So that was really good from him. And Valencia, obviously the horror injury coming back from that and seemingly not being affected by it was commendable. And a bit of a shame. He was probably one of the worst players in the Champions League final. Really anonymous, which was unfortunate, but still give him an 8. Just for the way he came back from the injury and the start of the season, he was decent as well. Okay, Paul Scholes and an unnamed. No, I'm not going to do that joke again. Ryan Giggs.
Are we not allowed to name him now? Are we not allowed to say Ryan Giggs is a. No, I better not do it. I better not, just in case.
Scholes has been a good player. I think he got. I saw a stat on Sky Sports last night, actually. I think he's the player with the highest pass percentage completion thingy, whatever they do. Yeah, quality. Can't really knock him. He's been brilliant. Unfortunately, he's retired, but I think he's been good. I think I'll give him a. I'm going to give him a 7. And Giggs, 9 for me. He's been brilliant all year.
I'm going lower than Dan again. Scholes, I'll give a 6. I just think kind of points in this season. I think his age has kind of been sort of exploited by teams. No doubt, he's got a magnificent footballing brain, a great player throughout the years. But I think this season. Kind of been caught out on a few occasions. Giggs, I'm going to go half mark, 7.5. I thought at some points he's been amazing, especially again in the second half of the season, and the way he's kind of moved inside as well from sort of being a winger to actually then playing pretty much centrally. It's been fantastic to see. I just think, again, some games kind of passed them by. Champions League final would be another one that's quite recent that I can remember. So 7.5 for Mr. Giggs.
I'm going to go 7 for Scholes, and I'm going to give Giggs an 8. I think at certain points in the season he's really sort of come up trumps really and performed when others haven't. Like, you think about Schalke when we couldn't seem to get that breakthrough and he popped up with a goal, and obviously Chelsea as well, he put on the laid the ball across for Rooney, which turned out to be the crucial goal really. So I think he's had a really decent season, and I'm sure he'll be back again season and be on top form again. Carrick and Gibson then.
Carrick, I think, has been well, he regained his form towards the back end of the season. I think I'll give Carrick a 7, and I think Gibson, it's hard to rate Gibson because I don't know, I think if he played every game for United he would improve massively, but he's never going to do that. I think I'll give him a 6.
I would go Gibson would be in the 5. I struggle to see what Fergie sees in him, to be honest. Apart from his shot that sometimes works, for me he's not got what it takes to be a Manchester United player. And Carrick, he's had his critics this season, not Dan Dull has always been on his side, but there's been a few games, the Chelsea games again, I keep going back to the Champions League, but the Chelsea games in the Champions League where he kind of sort of came to the fore in those two games were sort of, that showed everybody what he can do. But I think at points his ability to maybe influence a game hasn't been as much as we know it can be, so I'll give him a 7.
Right, I'm going to give Carrick a 2. I thought Dan was going to bite, but he's not.
No, he's not having it.
No, Carrick, I'll give Carrick a 7. I think he's had a pretty decent season for his standards. And Gibbo, I'll go 6 for Gibson. I don't think he's done too bad when he's come in. It's like Dan says, it's a difficult one because he's always under scrutiny whenever he plays for some reason. He's just not that glamour player, is he, unfortunately? So yeah, I'll give him a 6. Last 4 then. We'll start with Jason Park and Darren Fletcher.
Park has been excellent this season when he's played. I think I'm going to... Well, although saying that, he cost us in... I think there was the game against Barcelona when he kind of like didn't pick... I think it might have been Messi for the second goal. And then he didn't pick Ramsey up for the Arsenal goal as well at the Emirates. But apart from that, he's been good. Scored some important goals, as I mentioned before, and the one against Chelsea at home in the Champions League. So I'm going to give him a... If we go in half measures, I'll give him a 7.5. Fletcher, stated many times this season, I think he's been absolutely shockingly bad for a player of his quality. And he's getting a 5 for me.
Park and Fletcher. Park will get a 6. I think Dan's mentioned the occasions where he's not really been at the races, but other times he's the tactical discipline he shows, like just to kind of sacrifice himself for the good of the team, kind of, like you say, personifies the season for us. So we get a 6/7 for me. And Fletcher, well, I agree with Dan. I think he's been very, very poor, especially when he'd been, so you'd maybe even say one of the first names on the team sheet for Fair Game previous seasons. So yeah, 5 as well.
I'm going to go 7.5 for Park. I think he's had a decent season. A couple of times he's not really been at the races, but Arsenal springs to mind. But yeah, I think he's had a good season in general, and I'd agree with Fletcher. I'd give him a 5 as well. I was expecting much better from him this season, and not really delivered, so that's a shame. Anderson, and we'll chuck in Gabriel over Tan as well. I think he's just made the 10 appearance.
Anderson has been terribly inconsistent, but I think he's, as the season's gone on, he's got a bit better. He scored a few goals towards the end as well. Going to give him a 6. And Obertan, 5. Because I think he came on against West Brom, and I think he made a bit of a difference, if it was West Brom who came on against, I can't remember. And he obviously scored that goal in Champions League as well.
His goal in the Champions League maybe bumps it off a bit, but I'm going to give him a 4. I just think, for a guy who's been at the club for, was it, 2 years or so, he doesn't look anywhere near to getting a regular first-team spot. And it's frustrating, really, and obviously with transfer targets we're going to get onto, then it looks like his time at the club could well be up. So 4 for me. Anderson, I really like him. Anderson's like my Carrick. I really like him. Even when he plays rubbish, I still want to tell myself that he's played well. A couple of good performances there. Well, you say against Schalke, and then scored against Blackpool on the final day. At points in the season, he's looked amazing. I think it was kind of maybe November, December time. I was like, there you go. He's finally got his head together. And then again, second half, at points in the second half, he's just not really been there. So he would get a 6 for me.
I'm going to be slightly more generous with Overturn, because I'm going to factor in his performances for the reserves. He's done really well for the reserves. So I'm going to give him a 6. Oh, was not expecting that.
It worked perfectly with what you said as well.
There you go, Gabby, if you're listening. You've just got the highlight of the show. Anderson, well, I'm going to go 7. I think he's done quite well when he's come in. Scored a couple of decent goals towards the end of the season, and hopefully he'll kick on next season as well. So yeah, I'm pleased with him.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
All right then, guys. Well, before we move on to discuss some various transfer rumours and potential deals that have gone through in the last few days, we'll just finish off the rate the players with the strikers, of course. 4 to get through. We'll start with Wayne Rooney and Javier Hernandez. Dan, how would you rate those guys?
I think that Rooney obviously had his issues at the beginning of the season, which were well documented. And he's come out of that the other side. And he's played really well towards the last bit of the season. Scored a good goal against Barcelona in the final. Obviously, you brought up before about his goal against City. He's the player now that everyone will look up to next season to be the benchmark, I think, really. So I think I'll give Rooney an overall for the season. I'll give him a 7. And Hernandez, he's got a 9 from me. He's been phenomenal this season. Some of the games he's not shown up in, but you can only do as much if you're a striker. You know, you rely on your service. But when he has had the service, he doesn't miss many chances. The way he's settled in has been brilliant.
For Rooney, again, going a bit lower than Dan, I'm only going to give him 6. I think before the turn of the year, he was not very good, he was terrible, completely awful. And then the whole contract thing as well, I made my feelings clear at the time, but I still think he was a bit of an idiot to do something like that. But then, and again, another one that's like came good. All teams kind of came good. It's the runners went in and magnificent goal, and the Champions League final as well. But still,
for that first half of the season is getting a six from me. And Chicharito, I've got to agree with that. Magnificent, brilliant. I think there was a stat kind of halfway through that he'd had something like 12 shots on target and scored 11 goals or something along those lines. So a player that's got a kind of ratio of when he gets the ball on target, normally it goes in. And first season in the Premier League as well. A brilliant player, a revelation, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not liking these Real Madrid rumours that are floating around at the minute. That they're going to come in.
He won't go to Madrid. Not yet, anyway.
That's what I mean, not yet. seen it in the past, and that player's moving on to Real Madrid. But yeah, let's hope we can keep on hold of him for a long time. Rooney, I'm going to give a 7 as well. I agree with what both of you say before the sort of turn of the year. Wasn't on great form, and the transfer request was really didn't help matters for him. So yeah, 7 for Rooney. And Nandez, I'm going to go with a 9 as well. Fantastic debut season. What more can you say? Plenty of goals, plenty of work rate, and great season for him. Berbatov and Owen then, guys, just to finish off on rate the players.
Owen didn't play too much, but I generally thought when he came on, he didn't let anybody down. You know, he played quite well when he did play. Scored a few vital goals. Well, one vital. He scored against Bolton, didn't he? That was an important finish. And got the goal against Blackpool, on the last day of the season. So I think overall, give him, for his contribution, I'm going to give him a 6 because he never lets anyone down. He waits patiently. You know, comes off the bench more often than not, and he does really well. And the main man, Dimitar Berbatov, top goal scorer. I'm going to give him a 9. Superb. As we mentioned before, you know, he's involved in a lot of the goals that we've mentioned that have been quality this season. Steve mentioned the one against Blackburn, obviously the one against Blackpool to win it, Liverpool to win it. He scored a lot. Bolton at home, 1-0, came off the bench, won the game. That's just off the top of my head.
No, that's it, Ben. He scores the rest in cat tricks and fives and stuff like that.
I'm sure there's a stat. I'm going to prove this to you. When we go off here, I'm going to prove it. I'm sure there's a stat saying he scored the most winning goals of any player this season.
No, that's a stat that's very correct.
What's your beef?
My beef is he scores all his goals more or less against his lower ranked teams.
Doesn't matter, right? If he had scored against Blackpool, what would have happened when he'd drawn the game? Nobody else popped up and scored. Nobody else finished off. You can't just say that he scores against lower teams. So what?
He can, but he does. But I would say I'm going to give him a ranking. A ranking of 7. Right? Obviously, I'm taking
joke. You're a wild.
I know. I am. But no. I think he scored his goals. Granted, fair enough. Very good. But I just think the way that we play, I don't think he kind of fits into that at all. Yeah, I think he slows us down too much and is kind of omission in the bigger games from Fergie. Means that Fergie doesn't trust him and he scores too many goals in blocks of 3, 5.
I love that.
Hat-tricks.
He scores too many goals.
No. No. I'll explain it in a better way then. He scores goals in blocks of 3, 5, 2. But then he doesn't do it consistently over sort of 20 games. He'll score maybe 3 goals in the space of 2 games and then not score for another 6. And for me, a striker, he needs to be consistent, scoring 1s, 2s, and doing it more throughout the season. Because I think in the second half of the season, they barely scored. It was more than the first half. So that's why he's getting a 7. And Michael Owen, if we move on, I'll maybe give him a 5. I think. Not because he's bad, just because he doesn't play very, very often. And he's got 5 goals this season. I would expect a wee bit better from him, a bit of a better return for a guy who's meant to be a top-class finisher as he is.
I'm going to go in the middle for Berbatov with your two answers. I'm going to go an 8. Obviously, scored a lot of goals. I agree with Dov's argument in terms of he's not as consistent as we'd like him to be in terms of scoring goals regularly. But can't argue with his goal record this season. And that's obviously been a big factor in us winning the league. So, yeah, I think an 8's a fair reflection. And Michael Owen, I'm going to give him a 6. I think he's contributed well when he has played, but he's not played often enough, which is obviously not his fault. Good to see that he's signed that one-year deal, and be good to see him again next season.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, just before we close the final pod of the season, guys, we'll have a another quick discussion on potential signings and transfer dealings that are going on at the moment. The big one, of course, is Phil Jones, that we're apparently in advanced talks. And, well, if you believe the reports, he's had a medical and completed that ahead of a £16 million move. Thoughts on that one, Dan? I know you're a big fan of Jones, and you think he could be a real star for us in the future.
Definitely. I think from the games that I've seen him play, I think Dov mentioned it before, I think he's played about 40 games for Blackburn this season and back end of last. He's tall, he's strong, he's fairly quick, he's good in the air, good on the floor, he's a good tackler. He's one of them tacklers that just doesn't, no nonsense, goes straight through people, which is what I like to see. He'll get gets the fans on the feet as well when you see a good crunching tackle by a British centre half. And, you know, like I said, you know, he's English, which has probably bumped the price up a little bit, but just hope he has a good under-21 tournament now.
The thing is about it as well is, where is he going to play? Because obviously everybody's reporting that he's a central defender, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, did he not play a lot of the last season as a defensive midfielder? And I mean, is he going to replace Vidic or Ferdinand if both are fully fit? I would say no. And then you look at sort of Smalling and Evans, who have been kind of the backups. Does that mean one of them or one of those two are going to be sort of pushed out or something along those lines? It strikes me as a kind of odd transfer. Obviously, AC is a very good player, but 40 games in the Premier League and spending that amount of money on him, I'm not so sure.
From what we know, a lot of the top clubs are in for him. And I've read a report, I can't remember where I read it now, but United wanted to wait till the next season, end of next season, before they bought him. Mm-hmm. But obviously with the interest from clubs like Arsenal and Tottenham, and I think City were in at one point as well, and of course Liverpool, that I think Ferguson wanted to get in there, get the deal done. And it's not a great game that he comes a year too early. You do have worries though, obviously I think Wes Brown will probably leave now because he didn't play much last season. But I mean, Johnny Evans as well, maybe he'll attract a bid from somewhere.
Well, there's talks of Sunderland having bid £12 million for O'Shea, Brown and Gibson. I don't know whether that's true, but...
Well, it's not been denied by anybody, and I think Brown and Gibson have definitely been offered, but John O'Shea is a strange one, really. If I'd have thought Ferguson would want to keep O'Shea, unless we've got somebody else coming in that can do that sort of role. Maybe he's looking at Jones to do that, obviously, because O'Shea sometimes plays, not so much lately, but he has played in midfield in the past, and he's quite versatile, so maybe he's looking at Jones to be that sort of player. But I think someone with Jones's potential and the price tag, you've got to play him in one position and keep him there, really, and develop him.
So you wouldn't say that he would maybe start off defensive midfielder and then kind of maybe this, like the next season coming up, play there, and then this season after, when maybe Rio decides that his body gives up on him, maybe something like that, and then drop him back into defence?
Well, it depends on game time, really, because obviously I think, you know, next season Ferdinand and Vidic is still your first choice, and then you've got Small and he played well, and then I think Jones will be the third or fourth choice centre-half. So yeah, I think he'll play defensive mid quite a bit, because we've not really got anybody to share the workload with, you know, Michael Carrick, who plays virtually every game there. And, you know, maybe if you play Jones in the holding role, maybe Carrick could play a bit further forward. Maybe that's the idea, to sort of, obviously with Scholes retiring, Carrick might be able to, I'm not saying he's going to do what Scholes did, but he's, you know, towards the end of career, Scholes was more about his ability, which Carrick has got, so maybe he's looking at that.
You hinted at it, Dan, but do you think this is Ferguson sort of saying, Johnny Evans, you're not quite at the level to play for United, I don't see you having a future? Because, like you say, it's a bit of a strange one when you've got players like Smalling and Evans who have come in and played, well, quite a lot, really, when you consider they're not first choice. And now you've got another competitor for that role as well. I know we're saying he might play holding midfield now and again, but I think his main position, if you asked him, he's a centre-half, isn't he? Like you said, Dan, tough tackling, and that's just more suited to his attributes. So do you think that really is the end for Evans? Maybe he's had enough chances and Ferguson doesn't think he's going to be the main man in the future.
Maybe it's just the fact that Jones is such a good player that he had time when he could. You know, if we didn't buy him this season and he went to somewhere like Arsenal, we wouldn't be able to in position to sign him in the future, would we? So maybe it's forced his hand, and maybe he's better than Evans, but that's football, isn't it? And if Fergie thinks that he's not going to be good enough to play for United, then he'll get rid of him, won't he? But I'd like to see Evans get another season, because, you know, the first season when he broke through, and the second season he was all right. You know, he played really well against the big teams. He marked Drogba one game, I remember, and he was really good. But this season, he just seems to have tailed off a little bit for whatever reason.
Good stuff. And the other sort of big name that's been linked, well, we discussed it last week, but the Ashley Young rumours, they're not going away. Thoughts on that one as well?
This is another one, Steve, I'm kind of a bit intrigued to the reasons for it, because obviously I read somewhere that he actually has created the most kind of goal-scoring opportunities of any other player in the Premier League apart from Jack Wilshere, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But, I mean, when you've got wingers like Valencia, who, for me, is, as a Premier League winger, is fantastic, and you've got Nani, who's kind of shown the first sort of two-thirds of the season how good he is, then to bring another guy in, who obviously he's got England ambitions, he wants to play first team football. I mean, you're going to say to him, well, actually, you're going to be first sub. If Nani or Valencia go out of form, you're in next, sort of thing. Doesn't strike me as right. It seems like we're kind of, for me, strengthening in the wrong areas unless he's got another kind of midfielder up his sleeve. But it's another one that I've kind of found a wee bit strange, and especially for the amount of money that's been banded around as well, like £20 million. It's, it seems, again, a bit much.
About Samir Nasri, that's another one that's mentioned. He's not ruled it out either, is he? But maybe that will need to get a new contract.
Yeah, I'd take that if he was coming to Nasri again, another one. The first half of the season quality, but yeah, again, in the area that I feel new as well, I think that we need somebody there. So yeah, if he's available, then come a bit further north, Samir. You might win something.
Would you think? Do you think Arsenal will sell to United though?
Well, they have to.
I've considered this one. I would say Wenger would do everything he can, obviously, not to have to sell to a title rival. But when you consider Nasri's in his last year of his contract, and if United can put a decent offer on the table, it's difficult to say no, really, because he could potentially lose him for free in the summer, next summer, because that's when his contract expires. But that said, if United are interested in him, and Nasri's a top-quality player, surely there would be interest elsewhere as well from abroad. So maybe Wenger would sort of say, look, I'm only going to let you go now if you go to a team abroad. It's a risky one. I don't know. I think he'll stay at Arsenal in the end, to be honest. I think he'll sign a new deal and that'll be the end of that. And he's just after a bit more money. But like you say, Dolph, they haven't won a trophy in so long. And someone like Fabregas is going as well. What does that say for their ambitions, really? So
it's like, would he let both of them go as well? Like if Fabregas is all red, well, they say that he's going to go to Barcelona this summer, and then what, Nasri going as well? I can't see Arsene Wenger letting both.
I don't think Fabregas will go. I don't think Barcelona will bother buying him.
Mm-hmm. So even looking at it as well, it's like buying from Arsenal. I mean, we gave them Mikel Silvestre, so I mean, they should at least repay the favour.
I don't know how Ferg managed to sell Silvestre to Arsenal. I just can't. Where's he playing now, Silvestre?
There you go, Dan. He's signed at Werder Bremen.
Cool.
And as well, guys, I don't know if you've seen quotes from Schneider that are surfacing tonight, sort of suggesting that he does want to stay at Inter and that he's happy and settled in Milan. That's a bit of a blow. Do you think it's full steam ahead for Modric now?
I don't think it's a blow because I don't think we're ever going to get him. I said to you a few times, I don't think we'll get him.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm not too shocked by it. He would have been a great player if we could get him, but like I say, I think Modric... The benefit of Modric is the fact that he's played in the Premier League for a few seasons. You know what he's all about. Obviously played in the Champions League last year and did quite well as well. So he's got experience. Modric will be a really good player. Whether I reckon you have to pay £25 million though to get him.
Okay, well, that is just about the end of the final episode of the 2010-11 season. So a big thank you to everyone for tuning in and listening to the show over the past sort of 9 or 10 months. We'll still be available on the email address if you do want to get in touch, podcast@redcafe.net. And there's, of course, the Facebook group too, which will be running throughout the summer, no doubt. So, thanks again for listening to the show this week and throughout the season. And we'll hopefully be back on the air again soon.